throughout the book of Acts, Luke has several transitions, like our reading for tonight, where he moves from one major section to another. And here, he is moving from Pentecost until he talks about Peter, who will be healing a lame beggar in the next chapter. And most of the time, whenever Luke hits fast forward like he's doing right now, he will give us an overview of the entire church to give us a picture of what the church was like at that time. But being the first of these transitions, this one is especially important because it doesn't just show us what the church looked like. It also tells us what it means to be the church. This reading from Acts chapter 2 teaches us what it means to walk as Christians before God, and also to walk as Christians with one another. And I think the most important verse that we can focus on in this section is the first one, verse 42, where Luke says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And in this one verse, Luke gives us four things about what it means to be the church of God. The first of these things is that the disciples were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And I want you to pay especially close attention to that word, "the." That's very important here. He's not just talking about what the apostles were doing, as if they were teaching, or as if the disciples were devoted to one particular man in the way that he said things. Rather, they are focused on what they are teaching, the things that they are teaching. Or in other words, they are focused on doctrine. And the disciples at that time had learned some things about who God was, learned some things about what he had done, and they wanted to know more. They were focused on this teaching because they wanted to know more and more the truth about who God is. But unfortunately, Christians, I know that in our time, doctrine is often a bad word, even among Christians. Because people will say things like, "Doctrine divides us. Why should we focus on what makes us different from one another? Why should we focus on specifics? Why not focus on what we have in common, the things that we all believe together? Focus on those things and we'll just agree to disagree about the rest. All that stuff is not important. What's important, most people say, is what we do together and not specifically what we believe. Because we're all Christians, right? So let's just focus on that and then everything else will be better." And I get it. I get why people would talk this way. Because it's never easy to deal with divisions and conflict. It's always better to be united with one another, to get along with each other, right? And honestly, we as Christians should always pray, and pray very fervently, that we would be united, that God would take these divisions away from us and make us truly united with one another. But Christians, we don't find that kind of unity by ignoring differences, by pretending that they're somehow going to just go away. Real unity is found in the truth. And we find that truth in our doctrines, in the things that we believe, in the things that we teach. Because the disciples wanted to know more about who God is. And so they focused on the teachings of the apostles, because that's what makes us Christians. What we believe makes us who we are. Because Christianity isn't a lifestyle, as if I just do certain things that make me Christian and then everything else doesn't matter. If that were the case, then pagans could do the same thing. And Christianity is not about just being nice to one another, as if all God wants us to do is get along with each other. Again, pagans could do the same. No, Christianity is about the specific truths about who God is, things that he has revealed to us. And then those things that we believe shape how we live. That's why we say things like, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and all of those things. It's the whole reason why we say creeds at all. These are the specific truths that we know to be true. And knowing these things then changes how I live. It shapes, what I believe shapes how I live my daily life. So that's why we should insist on doctrine, Christians. We should insist on being specific about what we believe. Not because we're jerks, as if we're just trying to cause problems. In fact, if it leads us to become jerks, then we haven't understood the things that we are talking about. Insisting on the truth is love. Because when we know the truth and tell others that truth, then they will come to know Jesus. And knowing him for who he truly is, they will find the way which leads to everlasting life. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if we want to find that way, we need to know the truth. Because teaching falsely will lead us away from him. So why would we not want to focus on that truth and to turn away from what is false? The second thing that Luke tells us in verse 42 is that the disciples were devoted to the fellowship. Notice that word "the" again. The fellowship shows us that we're not just talking about some vague thing, because that's usually how we use that word, isn't it? We talk about having a time of fellowship, or we're going to have fellowship with one another, by which we usually mean that we'll gather together after the service. We'll maybe have something to eat, something to drink, some pleasant conversation, and so forth. And we call that fellowship. Now, all of that is good. Don't get me wrong. That's all a very good thing. But that's not what Luke is talking about. When he says the fellowship, he means something much more. Because fellowship, the word translated as fellowship in Greek, means having something in common. It means being joined together to each other. So the fellowship is more than just pleasant conversation. It is the unity that we have with one another in God as the church. And it includes everything that goes along with that. You could say what Luke is saying is that they were devoted to the church. They're devoted to the body of believers. They're devoted to their fellow Christians. They want to be with them. They want to spend time with them. They want to do things together. They are devoted to one another. But I know that that's something that our time struggles with too. Again, even among Christians. So much to the point that so many think that being a Christian is about what I am as opposed to anyone else. You will even have people who will say things like, I don't need other Christians. What I believe is sufficient. I can stay home, be a Christian all by myself. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be with anybody else. You might even go so far as to say, well, most of them are hypocrites anyway. Why would I want to spend time with them? I can do all of these things on my own. Or there'll be those who are quick to throw other Christians under the bus, especially when they do things that the world doesn't like. You know, I'm not like those kinds of Christians. I'm not crazy. I'm not weird. I'm not offensive. You can trust me. I'm the kind of Christian that you can like. I'm one of the good ones. They think nothing of throwing their fellow believers under the bus. Or maybe we just find it hard to be with other Christians. Maybe we find ourselves without a desire to join together, spend time together, to come to worship together. These things happen all the time. But God did not make us to be just individual Christians. God made us to be the church, to be joined together as one. We are one body. We are not many individuals. We are Christians together. We are not just Christians on our own. We are who we are as a group and not just what I believe on my own. And we see that also in our reading. These Christians were joining together. They came together to worship God. They would sell things that they had so that they would have the money to be able to help their fellow believers so that there was no need. They would meet together in their homes. They would share meals together. They would show concern for one another. And they did all of these things because of what Jesus had first done for them. Jesus had saved them and brought them together. And now they were walking together as one in love in the Lord. The third thing that we see happening here in verse 42 is the breaking of bread. Again, the breaking of bread. The shows us that this is pointing towards communion, towards the Lord's Supper. Because early Christians, whenever they went to worship together, they also went to the Lord's table. Because there, they received the forgiveness of sins, just like we do. There, they found life and true unity in Jesus, just like we do. And even though Luke is referring specifically to communion here, I would also include all of God's means of grace, all the ways that God has chosen to come to us to give us life and forgiveness and unity. They were devoted to these things because they wanted to receive what it is that God has come to give. It was a constant source of delight for them. They wanted to be with God more and more, so they came to the places that God had promised to be. Is it also the same for us, Christians? Do we have that same kind of desire? Because here in the gifts that God gives to us, we find life and forgiveness. Here we find true unity. Unity in doctrine. Unity in fellowship. Unity in love. We are joined together in God. And if we have no desire for the things that God wants to give us, how can we say that we have a desire for God? So it's good to be devoted to the things that God wants to give. Because this is where we meet Him. This is where we are joined together. Lastly, Luke talks about the disciples being devoted to the prayers. The prayers. Notice that again. The meaning specific prayers. On the one hand, things that they all knew and could say together, just like we do with the Lord's Prayer, or probably something also written down and handed down from generation to generation. And there's nothing wrong with prayers like that. They're not less sincere just because they're written down. God hears our written prayers just as He hears any other prayer. They are still precious to Him. But this would also include those more spontaneous prayers, the kind of thing that it's just made up in the moment. It's not an either-or kind of a thing, but a both-and. And in a nutshell, what they were doing was devoting themselves to a life of prayer, constantly calling on God through all of their troubles, constantly looking to Him for guidance through all things. But Christians, does the thought of praying together fill us with fear? Or does the thought of praying together make us impatient or even bored. But why should that be the case? Have we forgotten how great of a privilege we have in prayer? Think about what prayer is. The Creator of all things, the God of the entire universe, is taking time to listen to you, to listen to your cares, to listen to your concerns. He's not too busy for you, and he cares about your welfare. Because prayer is the great privilege of a Christian. What a wonderful thing it is to call on God as our Father. And if we find such a great privilege tedious or even boring, it's because we've lost sight of just how great a thing it really is. God hears us when we pray. And no matter how many times we come to him, God always delights to hear us. So we too can devote ourselves to a life of prayer, calling on God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. So in these four ways, Christians, we see what it means to be the Church of God. We see what it means to be joined together as one in Christ, that we spend time together, that we worship together, that we pray together, that we care for one another. Christians are devoted to God and also to one another because we have been saved as one body in the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has united us into one body in your Son, Jesus Christ, help us to walk in love and make us desire that unity more and more, so that together as one, we may glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.